Hi, welcome to How Did You Learn to Do That, where you will hear tips, guidance, and stories to help you to have a fulfilling life and career. The inspirational stories that you will hear from people will inspire you to know that you can create anything you want in your life, and it just takes commitment and action. So I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited for you to hear these stories, these guidance, and the tips that I'll be sharing. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me, info@howdidyoulearntodothat.com. And you can connect with us on social media. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. At How Did You Learn to Do That? And we would love if you could help us grow and expand this podcast by reviewing us on Apple Podcasts as well as on YouTube and sharing the episodes with your family and your friends and helping us continue to spread the message that we all are deserving of a fulfilling life and we can be the catalysts in our lives to create that. All right, stay tuned for the next episode. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to welcome Marissa on the How Did You Learn to Do That podcast. Marissa Phoenix-Clark was moving in a traditional career path with a degree in political science and economic policy, and she found herself entering a career in the financial services. Despite the opportunities awarded by this career, she felt lost, longing for something that fulfilled her creatively. She decided to enroll in the Fashion Design and Business Management program at the London School of Arts in 2016 and launched her ready-to-wear clothing line, Fawn, in 2018. Dedicated to promoting sustainable development in her late mother's birth country of Vietnam, Clark has partnered with an ethically driven production facility, Saigon, to make high-quality, timeless, fair trade fashion accessible to the Canadian market. Since then, Fawn has stocked in boutiques across Canada and a sponsorship from Global Fashion Collective. Clark has represented collections on the runways of Vancouver, New York, and Paris Fashion Week. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast and to share your story about how you moved from your business and economics and the traditional career path and really following your purpose in creating your brand and your business and following this path. So I'm so excited to have you here.
So excited to be here. It's so nice to finally talk to you again.
Yeah, I was complimenting Marissa on her blouse, which is from her collection, and how beautiful it is. So I will share the link to her website and her online accounts so you can check it out and you can check out all her amazing pieces. So I'm excited to have you here and we'll just kick it off. I want to know more about how you learned that this was the path that you wanted to be on and how you learned to follow that feeling of wanting something more.
I was thinking about it a lot and I think there was a time when I first graduated university where, like you said, I had gotten a job in a more corporate career in financial services and was just kind of finding myself moving along this path, but deep down knowing that that wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. Like I didn't feel fulfilled deep down by that, like sort of setup. So I remember going to some TED Talks where they kind of asked, there was a couple that just were about finding your passion. And I remember one of the ones that I listened to had something where they asked two very important questions. And the first one was, as a child, what did you love to do? And I immediately just thought about drawing and sewing because that was something I'd done with my mom growing up. We'd always, like, I'd gotten really into embroidery and we would sew dresses and things like that. And just art in general was something that I loved. And I always had my parents' friends telling me, oh, she's going to be an artist when she grows up. But I kind of just, as I got older, I never felt like art would be a viable career. So even in high school, I never really even took art, even though I would paint on my free time. So that was something I kind of reflected on. And then the next question this person asked was, what do your friends come to you for advice? And I kind of just had flashbacks to university where my friends would come over to my room and go, Marissa, I have a really cute guy in my class. What do I wear? Can you curl my hair for me? Can you do your makeup? Can you do my makeup? And that was just kind of my thing. Like, I just love making, like helping my friends dress up to go out, just feel beautiful. I've always loved clothes and just kind of collecting different pieces from traveling, like not having just like an Aritzia blouse. Like, I always liked having a story behind each piece. So I kind of took those things together. And then I kind of looked at my degree as well, which was in political science and economics. And I was just super interested in economic development in general and helping in developing countries. So I kind of took all of these things that I was interested in and then kind of attached it to that purpose of wanting to help economic development in my mom's home country, Vietnam. And I'd had her sisters, my aunts telling me for so long, you know, Vietnam is one of the growing like powers in like in manufacturing. And it's like, everyone's moving from China now. We just know that like, this is gonna be kind of what's gonna be driving our economy in the next 15 years. And I think seeing what happened in China with underpaid workers, environmental destruction, things like that, I was like, I think this is amazing for your economy, but I want to be able to contribute to this in a way that, you know, is not going to hurt you in the long run or isn't going to hurt marginalized people. So I think it was something that I deep down knew I wanted to do, but it was kind of hard to admit it to other people because then it felt like, okay, once I say it, then I actually have to go and do it.
Yeah.
So I spent about a year and a half after university, kind of working at different corporate jobs, super, super unhappy. But kind of taking art courses, graphic design on the side in my evenings, kind of knowing I'm like, I think this is what I'm going to do. I just like kind of building up to get the courage. And then I eventually got accepted into an intensive fashion design program in London. And that's kind of just how I got to like the point of accepting that I wanted to do a career in fashion design and not the thing that I'd been working towards for, I guess, the first 22 years of my life.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And I love that you say that you just, you really just listened to yourself and listened to your intuition and just what was telling you that you needed to do something different. You needed to pursue that. And that question of, that the, one of the TED Talks said, what do all your friends come to for you? And what are you just natural at and what brings you joy? And, I feel like that's, when I was on maternity leave, I, similar to you, like I had built this career and, you know, I had done a 4-year program and then I did a master's degree right after that, all in public health. And then I was like, I'm going into public health. And like you said, worked so many years towards that since you're, you know, young. And I got into the career, got into management, did all the things I was supposed to do, like you said, and just realized that I wasn't fulfilled. Like I didn't see myself walking in every day at 9 o'clock and leaving at 5 o'clock and, you know, all of that. And I listened to one of those TED Talks as well. And it said, write down your ideal day. Like, when could you start? When would you end? How many days a week would you work? How many weeks a year would you work? And I wrote it all down and it turned out that what I wanted as my ideal day would not at all be within a corporate job or within your traditional sort of career. And so when I was on maternity leave, I was super excited actually to be pregnant and have my daughter, but more so because I get to take time off without really, you know, kind of, I wanted to take time off before, but it's always scary, right? To take just a chunk of time and go on a leave of absence. So I was really excited to be on maternity leave. And similar to you, I was like, you know, what are some of these things? And I think maybe I heard, I saw the recording of the TED Talk you're talking about, because I had those same similar questions. And I realized that my friends just come to me for career advice or fulfillment advice, or like, hey, I'm super unhappy here. Like, what can I do that's different? And actually this past weekend, I saw my cousin for the first time since the pandemic. And she was like, can you know, I want a new career. Could you help me out? Like, can you help me look at new things? Like, I don't really know. These are things I'm interested in. And I realized then that, you know, what's natural to me is just helping people through transitions in life, through really figuring out what is natural to them and inspirational to them. And then that's how this podcast came to be. And that's how my career coaching and fulfillment coaching came to be too. And I think that what you're saying is really amazing, because you really listened to that and you you went for it. And so, so I'd love to learn more about how you felt once you were in the program in London, and how did you feel when you were there? Did it feel just natural to you? Like this is where you were supposed to be?
Yeah, I think it was kind of the first time in all of my schooling really, where I just kind of came in and I didn't really feel like an outsider. Like I just felt like I bonded with everyone. I think socially I always did well, but I was very academic and I always just felt like very bubbly and lively and wanting to make jokes with people, and people around me were just very serious. And then all of a sudden I was in this course with all these other girls that were exactly like me and just super creative, and we're all kind of in that point of, you know, I think I'm ready to mix it up, make a change, because we were all in kind of a post-secondary intensive program where I think we all had a very similar vision for ourselves. And it wasn't just, oh, I want to design clothes, but it's like, I see a vision of myself in the future. And like you said, like, I see these days that I want to be living. And it was kind of cool to see people that were also chasing the same dream and are also, you know, flourishing now.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I think that's amazing. And isn't it just, it just feels like you're going with the grain as opposed to going against the grain, and everything just seems so much easier. And so how did you, once you were in the program, so how did you start to really go through the motions of knowing what it is that you wanted to do? So now that you were pursuing the program, that really felt normal and natural to you, but how did you know from there where you wanted to go in the fashion industry, because it is so big? What really drew you to developing Fawn, and how did you start?
Yeah, I think definitely my schooling was very informative in realizing, yes, you can't just design everything, or you need a specific market. And I really thought about how I could kind of tie these stories of traveling into a clothing company. And I really wanted it to be for women of like in a similar position, but not necessarily of a certain age range or something like that, but for women that want to be like somewhat unique, but also care about the environment and where their clothes come from. And one second, I'm just trying to think of the second part of your question.
I think it was how you decided you wanted to move forward with Fawn, or how that fulfilled you and how you started.
Okay, perfect. And yeah, I guess with my background in University of Political Science and Economic Development, I'd always been a part of a lot of different charities and different philanthropic, or sorry, I'm just trying to think what I was trying to say there. Yeah, I've been a part of a lot of charities, and I really wanted to work in the NGO sector. Mm-hmm. And I'd worked for a couple over like various summers within university. And I kind of just felt frustrated. Like I kind of felt like I was on the outside kind of asking these corporations, like, you should act in this way, or you should cut down emissions here, or something like that. And you're kind of fighting against them. And I kind of realized during that time, I'm like, I think the best way is to work from within an organization and have that be your core values. So I really took like an interest in sustainable development or sustainable design. And with Fawn, I think it was very important to me to use Vietnam and my connections there and find the right facility to produce. So I know a lot of my classmates went for jobs in working for other designers or within other design companies. And for me, I think I was really interested in the entrepreneurial side as well, actually having a brand and not just focusing on runway, but having a way that I could directly get these products to consumers. And it's kind of like I always thought of it as, I wasn't going into fashion design because I wanted to be a fashion designer. I went into fashion design because I wanted to find a way to ethically produce clothes for people in my market in Vietnam.
Yeah, amazing. And what, as you're speaking and talking about your business, I can see how your political science and your economic development degree really is embedded and intertwined with what you're doing, and actually is a great combination of having that be a part of your fashion design degree and really just allowing you to really get into the details of how you're producing your brand and the economic development for Vietnam and everything that you're doing and the people that are working in Vietnam in the manufacturing industry. And I think that that's really amazing because that really puts a unique lens on the work that you do, because you know the kind of ins and outs of and you know the whole trajectory of your business, you know, how things are made and how they're delivered and how they're you know, given to a consumer in their home and how they wear it. And I think that's amazing. And so spoke about it, you choosing Vietnam as the country that you wanted to partner with for your brand, Fong, and having it be a partnership with your aunts and just listening to their advice. And so do you work closely with your family to show them your style and your brands and have their advice and give you inspiration? And where do you draw your inspiration from?
That's a great question. I've always been very close to my family in Vietnam. My mom actually immigrated here alone when she was 17 years old. Well, we don't really know how old she was because there was some discrepancies with her birth certificate growing up in rural Vietnam. So she was kind of the first one of her family to come to Canada. But her younger sisters have been incredibly entrepreneurial as well. I think it's just kind of a thing in our family of starting businesses. So one of my mom's youngest sisters actually owns a purse manufacturing company.
Wow.
And she was able to give me a lot of guidance in the beginning. And I pretty much spent a month after I graduated in Vietnam, meeting different production managers, seamstresses, all these different people. And while I do speak some Vietnamese, it is not by any ways fluent. Like, I think I can understand a lot more than I can actually speak. So having them present and being able to, you know, translate for me and also get across the ideas of like certain aspects of my design, because I think I learned a lot about how to convey my designs and like how to create pieces through that time. So having their support was incredible. And then I guess your second question was inspiration. And I think I'm just inspired by a lot of things. I think, you know, I've always, in my past collections, I've always tried to base them off of different places in the world and inspiration from both like their nature, but also like more regional designs and what artisans are doing. And just, I just love, like, that's one of the things that I loved before was like getting unique pieces that were created like in certain, like by artisans and things like that. So in our most recent collection, I went to a bunch of different button manufacturers within Vietnam and found ones that were using locally found shells and also like kind of sustainable bamboo. So it's an interesting way to support a very small section of their economy. But through finding those, I found so much inspiration, was able to just, you know, come up with pieces that I was really excited about.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. And it's really nice that you share that your family is a family of entrepreneurs, and it's just that journey. And I wholeheartedly believe that to be an entrepreneur, it's you know, it's almost like a calling. It's something that you either want, because it is a lot of work, right? There's a lot of sacrifices. There's a lot that goes into it. There's no 9-to-5, although we don't want the 9-to-5. Sometimes you do, right? So you can just kind of,
when you don't
out.
Have it, you're like, oh.
Yeah. So, when you don't have the 9-to-5, sometimes you want it just to be able to be like, you know, I want the night off, but I know, there's always so much work to do and you just feel like you get never get enough time. So I'm curious, And just digging a little deeper, but how has making this shift in your career and in this path that your life has taken, how has it really changed your life? How has it really brought you closer to your purpose, or just, you know, bringing you closer to what you think you are here to do, and really allowing you to intertwine. And what I'm hearing is you're intertwining your family, your inspiration to your country, to your previous degree, and just kind of taking all of that and intertwining it, which I think is so beautiful. But how has this really changed your life for you?
I think it has in a lot of ways. Like, I think, like you said, we were talking like about the entrepreneur thing. I think for a lot of people, it's a really terrifying thing. And I think even if you are an entrepreneur, it's still very terrifying. But it's something where you kind of feel like you don't have a choice. Like when you're in a different position, working for someone else, not exactly doing things the way that you envision them. And as a creative person, wanting to output all these things, it's almost more difficult not to. And that's, I think, assessing each person's kind of risk tolerance and everything like that. But for me, it's like, I kind of felt so down and so lost when I was in the safe career that it almost felt like I didn't have a choice. So I think for a long time, I dealt with like a very extreme level of anxiety and depression. When I was working, I just almost felt like, how can people be happy? It just felt so bleak. And yeah. I think it wasn't until I switched into this career that I kind of just felt excited, because I did feel like I had a purpose and a bigger contribution that I could make. But also on a personal level, it just makes me really happy to be able to do things that I'm truly passionate about and that I love, like on a day-to-day basis. Like I used to, when I was young, dream about working at a magazine. And it wasn't that I wanted that catty New York environment, but I just love the idea of styling shoots, like putting together imagery, taking those photos, putting it onto paper. And I would always be like scrapbooking and doing those things. So I think every day I feel so lucky when I'm writing a blog post, or when I'm putting together social media content, or when I'm doing photography for a shoot or styling a shoot, both of those things. Like I just kind of look get like the younger version of me and think like, wow, this is like, I would just be like blown away if I knew that's what I was doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. So that takes me to my next question, actually. And I actually, I think that, and I'll share a story before I ask my next question, but I think what you're saying about, you know, looking back to your younger self and having your younger self realize that this is what you're doing now and being blown away, I think that in itself is so inspirational, because there's a lot of things that we, and I say this because of reading all the parenting books and all the things about, you know, raising a child. And it just says that sometimes that we know our purpose when we're children. It just comes to us naturally. And it just comes in the things that we do. And you were saying that you were into art a lot and you were drawing a lot as a kid. And then you went into the career path of the financial services. And I think similar to me, when I was younger, I always enjoyed, at that time it was telling the news. Like I enjoyed broadcasting. I loved public speaking. And it was something that I loved to do. And I always wanted to share stories with anyone that would listen. And, my uncles would actually laugh at me and be like, you got 5 minutes for one story and that's it, you know? And then obviously you grow up and then society starts trickling in, and society's like, what are you going to do when you grow up? And then you have a list of careers that are identified. And you pick the one that, you know, you think is the one that's for you and, you know, leads to the career you think you want and all that. And, but then at some point in life, you realize that you're not fulfilled. And you want to kind of explore what it is that you should be doing that would be fulfilling. And that's similar to what you did, similar to what I've done, is just looking back, on your childhood and just looking back, on your history and looking at your younger self and just saying like, hey, like, what did my younger self really want to do? What did I do? What was natural? And then if you are one of the lucky people to actually find the courage and to really get on the other side of that fear, and make it happen, it's even more beautiful. And I think that, I actually am just coming up to a year on April 6th, for my podcast. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I used to dream about this for so long. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm here. And, you know, I had a year and I've just loved every moment of it. And it's my most favorite thing to do. And so my next question for you is if you could go back to young Marissa, and if you can share some pieces of advice to her, about life and where life was going to take you, what would you share with her? What would you say to yourself?
I think one of the things I really struggled with when I was young was wanting to be good at the things I wasn't good at, like kind of seeing if I couldn't accomplish something, that it was something wrong with me. So I always had a really tough time with math and science. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt like, okay, if I can get good at this, then that means that I'm accomplished. And I think I kind of pushed myself through that for a lot of my life, rather than something like art that I loved so much. I kind of felt like, oh, that can't be important. That could never be my career. So I think just like letting go of what you think people's expectations are, versus like what you really want to do. And I know one thing my dad said to me when I was kind of at this point in my career where I was very unhappy, he kind of said to me, he goes, well, I never raised you to be an accountant or, you know, be like a serious person. Like, I've always known you're very creative. Like, I think that's the pressure that I was putting on myself to be a certain way. And it was really no one else was telling me that. And I think mm-hmm. now that I'm in the position I am, like, people just look at me and they're like, oh, this is what you've always been meant to be doing. So it's kind of that idea of like not trying to conform to like what you think is a society's expectations of what you should be.
Mm. Yeah. Isn't that so interesting that we put that pressure on ourselves? I think that we need to be a certain way.
But we're like, everyone would be so impressed if I was doing this.
Yeah.
Like, you don't care. You aren't happy. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. I recently, my laptop crashed. And so I had messaged one of my guests and I said, hey, I'm so sorry. I have to push the podcast episode back a week because I don't have a laptop. And her response was, this is why you're an entrepreneur, because you're the boss. Like, you get to decide when the deadlines are, you get to decide when things are happening. And I just, that perspective of that she shared, and she's an entrepreneur too. And she shared with me, I was like, yes, like, I don't need to put out this episode. I decided to put this episode out on this day. And that's only my own internal deadline. And that, yeah, nobody else really, it doesn't matter. People are flexible and they're accommodating and it's totally fine. And, yeah. And I love that. And Jenna, I say this a few times, but Jenna Kutcher, when I was launching my course, as she said, I was listening to one of her episodes and she said that whenever she launches something, she makes, it feel like nobody's even watching. Nobody's even going to care if she's launched something or not. And it's not an emergency. And she said, the reason she does that, it just takes that pressure off to get things done on a certain day or a certain timeline. And she said, because it's her own business, it gives her flexibility to push things back a little bit, you know, and if people are very loyal to you, they'll wait and it's okay. And as long as you're taking care of yourself. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I totally resonate with that. Like especially like this past season, in the fashion schedules, it's expected that you're releasing at least 2 collections a year. And with fast fashion, it's kind of getting to like something like, I think fast fashion has 52 collections a year. Like each week they're dropping in pieces. So as a single designer, you kind of feel like, oh, I have to be doing a runway show twice a year just to keep up with that. And I think I've kind of realized now, I'm like, okay, for my own mental health, I'm not a whole design company. Like I can just take off a season if I want to. No one's, the world isn't going to end if I don't do a runway show one season. So even this spring, I decided not to do one, just because, especially with the current, everything's going to be in a digital format. I just figured, I'm like, I can do something different this year. I don't have to put that pressure on myself. But it's that funny thing with like, yeah, being an entrepreneur, when they're like, wait, I don't actually have to.
Yeah, right. That's really interesting. I didn't I didn't realize that there was, so in the fashion industry, you have to put out two runways. Is that what you're talking about? Like two runway shows per year?
Well, yeah, typically you'll design a spring summer collection and a fall winter collection. And that will be, yeah, shown like, so once each season. And then what I was saying about fast fashion is now we're just seeing way more drops rather than the traditional two collection drops a year. You're just seeing every week new pieces coming in. And so you kind of just feel like the fashion industry, and you're seeing even bigger brand houses. Now they're coming out with resort collections or, you know, mid-season collection, things like that. Yeah. So it's kind of realizing it's like, oh, this is just like pushing people to consume stuff that they might not necessarily need. And it's putting a lot of pressure on us to keep on creating new things. So I trying to take away some of that urgency and focus on creating something that's going to be way more long lasting. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily just releasing something for the sake of it being on trend or for the mm-hmm. sake of just releasing something new.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually, it reminds me last year when the Marie Kondo Netflix thing took over, yeah. I remember I went into my closet and I was using her folding techniques because I love to fold clothes. I just love when everything's organized. So I went and like, I went through everything and my husband and I said, you know what, we're going to donate like 80% of our wardrobe. And we're only going to keep the pieces we like. And then anything new, we're choosing, you know, quality over quantity. So we'll pay more for one item versus getting like 10 for the same price. And so we did that. And so I've really enjoyed it because also as part of the entrepreneurial world, and reading tons of bios and stuff, it says that everyone has a bit of like a uniform or like, you know, like mm-hmm. only 10 pieces or 15 pieces in their closet. That's like, you just pick from what, you know, this stuff, and it just simplifies these things and then allows you to take the energy of decision-making into your business. And like Steve Jobs and Oprah, they all do that. They function like that. And so I've noticed that for me, it's nice in the morning just to get up and be like, I'm going to put this on and put this on. But then my sister is the complete opposite. She puts these orders on these fashion websites monthly, and she gets like, you know, she has three closets and they're overflowing. They are overflowing. And I recently said to her, like, you need to just donate your clothes. Like, you're not wearing this anymore. What are you holding mm-hmm. it on to? Give it to somebody that might use it. And she's like, no, I might use it. You know, there may be a time, you know, and has that mentality. And so recently I was just talking to her. I was like, you know, you should just, she said something like, oh, your top is so expensive. And I bought like five things for that price of your top. And I said, well, are you going to wear those five things? And she's like, well, no, I haven't yet, but I will eventually. And it just got me thinking about how, yeah, fast fashion has totally changed the way that we shop and think, and wanting things on trend. And sometimes it's hard not to get sucked into it and consume things you don't need, but you have to be really mindful of it. So I absolutely love what you're doing with your collection, because I think it is sustainable and it is empowering. And we have so much, you know, so much power in how we spend our money and how we impact the economy on a global scale, which I think is amazing. But with all of the work that you do on your brand and your business, and with obviously 2020 being a complete shift that you alluded to, and having everything be more digital now versus the in-person, how do you actually maintain your routines, or to manage your mindset, or to self-reflect, or to really just stay true to your purpose? So you were talking about it's hard not to want to do something on trend, but really just stepping back and saying, you know, this is not my purpose. This is not what I want to do. How do you stay aligned with yourself? And, you know, when things do get challenging, what do you do to kind of check in with yourself to really, really make sure that you're aligned with what you want for your life and also for your business?
Well, I think this year, like you said, it's just turned everything upside down. But in a way, I think it actually has given me a chance to slow down and kind of reflect on all of everything that's happened. because since 2018, when I launched my brand, like I said, I kind of was designing a collection like twice a year, and managing all my sales, managing my social media, just kind of wearing 100 different hats and just going all the time, not really taking these breaks. And I think when everything shut down last year, I was preparing to do a fashion show with Vancouver Fashion Week, which was my version of toning it down because I wasn't doing an international show. And my dog had just passed away. And I remember thinking, I really just don't want to be doing a collection this season. And then everything shut down and they're like, we're not doing the runway collection shows and everything. And I just remember feeling so relieved. Yeah. And it was the first time where I was actually able to design my next collection, not in a complete rush and in like a complete madness of the sales season and talking to our buyers and at trade shows and everything like that. It actually just like gave me a lot more time to relax. And I just actually spent more time finally actually doing yoga, meditating, all those traditional, more self-care things. And it was almost by not having to travel and be at a bunch of different events, I think it was actually really good for me, even though I think it was also very unsettling and very difficult to adapt to. I think looking back now, it was kind of the time that I needed to work out a lot of things that I'd just been kind of avoiding by staying busy.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with you, because I also agree that although, you know, the pandemic was very tragic and has taken tons of lives and totally shifted a whole bunch of things and, you know, caused impacts across the world, I do think also it was a time that allowed us to, majority of us, to slow down, to reflect, to really just get back to the basics of what we need in life. And really just allowing us to reflect upon that as well, you know. And and I was mentioning my sister earlier, and you know, she is someone that I'm much more in tune with myself and I do a lot more self-care and check in with myself. But you know, she's not one of these people that wants to do this. She just masks any thought that she wants to, you know, just reflect on life or just connect with herself or work through some things. She masks it with being busy all the time. You know, she was one of these people that was like, hey, do you want to come over? And she'll be like, yeah, I think I'm between 1 and 2. And then at 2, I have to go because I have to go here, you know? And like, that was her life was on a schedule because she packed so much stuff in at once. That like, it didn't even give her a minute to think, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, when the pandemic hit, she initially was struggling a bit because she was like, well, I have all this free time and whatnot. But then she actually ended up spending that time reading some books and really getting to know herself and what's important to herself and all these things. And she actually was supposed to get married in September 2020, and she had this like elaborate wedding planned in Greece and all this stuff. Like, and it was like 7 days, and it was like across 3 countries because it was in Canada, then it was in the States, and then it was in Greece. It was like insane. It was really crazy. I was a little worried. I was like, I don't know how I'm doing this with a 15-month-old, but I was like, she's my sister, so I have to go. But obviously things all changed, right? And so she's getting married actually this August, and it's totally different. It's just small, it's intimate, it's 10 people, it's, you know, and she just, it's just the shift in her mindset about not having that pressure to have like the best and biggest wedding. And she's just feeling much more relaxed about it. Obviously she's upset that she can't have a big wedding because she'd love tons of our family and friends to be there. But it's just, she's just doing it. She's like, it's just a wedding. It's fine. Like, it doesn't need to be this pressured Instagram or Pinterest worthy sort of wedding. And it's just that shift in our mindsets that I think the pandemic has allowed us to make.
Yeah. It's kind of like you said, I think it is really easy. Like, you don't want to sometimes confront certain things that are going on in your head or things that you need to work through. So you just get busy or find other distractions. And I think that's just human nature. And yeah, it's, I think that's why it was a struggle for everyone. But I think in a way, a lot of people have come out better.
Yeah.
And I was, yeah, the queen of that, just being like, I don't want to think about that. So I'm just going to be really busy. Always being like like a distracted place, but it's, yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. And so what are some things that you would, someone that, you know, was similar to you in wanting to just be distracted or just kept busy, not really working through whatever it is that they wanted to work through or think about, what are some things that you do or you did that, that you'd like to share with people that, really helped you and that might help them as well?
I'm trying to think of it, something specific.
It could be anything that, yeah, it doesn't have to be unique or too specific. It's whatever helped you, you know, whether it was journaling or just like you said, you did yoga, meditation, and how you started that. Yeah, it could be anything.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I guess like during it, I feel like everyone picked up a bunch of hobbies. So the things that I got really into was like making polymer clay jewelry. I took a ukulele. Like I'd always played guitar, but I was like, I have a ukulele. I might as well learn to do that. And then I really got into photography. And those were all kind of things that creatively I didn't really feel like would lend my career, but it was just things that I'd wanted to be doing. And jewelry making is like a perfect example of that, something that I really enjoy. And then photography is something where always before I would be at photo shoots watching the photographer, and sometimes I'd be seeing something where I'm like, oh, I wish they'd capture this clothing piece in this way or something like that. But I always felt like, oh, well, I never studied photography. I can't be the one to do that. So over the last year, I have a Fujifilm camera, and I just kind of took a Udemy course on photography and just kind of worked through that. And it's interesting because that's something now, that things are opening up a bit more. I have been able to do photo shoots myself and actually do like my own photography for our last lookbook. So it was kind of a hobby thing that really turned into something that's benefiting my career now. So I think that was a big thing, was just kind of like just finding, like just having the time to just do a lot of things, not necessarily with a career aspect in mind, but just to have fun and like have a hobby. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of goes back to like when you're young. Like I think when I was young, I was always just like doing 1,000 things, like always keeping myself busy with like different creative projects. And then as you get older, you kind of just feel like, okay, work is work. And like you just don't really like, especially in university, I remember I just would never read for fun. I would never like just do things for like enjoyment unless it was just hanging out with my friends. Like I felt like I lost all my hobbies. So I definitely think just like exploring different things, taking an online course in something that you're interested in. That's been another great thing. That's actually how we met, was the Business Babes. They had a little online Zoom conference, and that was just something that I was going out of my way. Like I'd been to some of their events before, but just in general, I was just trying to sign up for every Zoom seminar that was somewhat related to entrepreneurs, like entrepreneurs or fashion brands or anything like that, just as a way to kind of feel connected to the community when you can't go to events and actually meet people. Because I think that's just one of the best things about working for yourself, is getting to meet people that are in a similar mind frame, that have also, you know, are starting to pursue their passion. And yeah, I think it's been harder, but it's kind of in a way opened it up, because I can just have it in the background while I'm working every day at noon, have a different little conference and connect with people that way. It's like a different opportunity than you'd have if we weren't in this online space now.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I actually, when I first started thinking about the podcast before the pandemic hit, I was thinking, you know, where am I going to record these? Like, how am I going to get people into the house? Like, at what time? What time is my daughter's nap time? And it was like all these thoughts. But obviously when the pandemic hit, everything went digital, and I was like, perfect. I could do everything over Zoom, and I don't even have to have a studio or have a setup at home. And I'm so grateful for it, because then I get to meet people like you, and we don't live in the same place. So it just opens up, and broadens the network of people that you can connect with, like you said, and having, you know, the digital space become so big in the last year with courses and networking events and all of that. I think it's awesome because sometimes you just don't feel like, dedicating an evening after work, going out and networking with people for a couple of hours and coming home, and it's tiring. So doing it over Zoom, I think, is awesome. It's actually my favorite thing to do. because it just gives you more flexibility, and I work full-time from home and I do my business from home. I do everything from home. And what I've realized is that my home just has to be, I just have to put a bit more attention towards decorating and making my home more aligned with what I want to be surrounded by all the time, which is, I think is great because it really is just, my work, my place of home, my playtime, my daughter's house, like it's just everything, right? So having it be your space is so nice. All right. So as you were working through the changes in your business and in this last year, all the things that you've done, how do you stay aligned and true to you and what you want to do? And the reason I'm asking is because you listen to your intuition, you listen to what you wanted to do, and you pursue this career path for yourself. And obviously in this last year, there's been so many different businesses, so many different things popping up. And you talked about wanting to be a photographer and not knowing if you could become, but now you push through that and you are adding that as part of your business as well. And so how do you actually stay aligned and stay true to yourself and what you want to do with all these options that are out there now? And as you were talking actually about the polymer clay earrings, I was just thinking about how much I saw those before and how much I loved them. And how you said you were able to maintain that as your hobby, even though you love jewelry. And so my thought when you said that was like, why not just create them and add them to your collection? But so I'm curious to know your thought process of how you stay aligned with what you want to do and don't have all this other, and I generally call it just noise, like all these other people doing all this stuff, that interests you and that you're into, how do you have that not kind of creep into your business and then create something that is pulling away from what you're aligned to?
I think that's something that I've always struggled with, in the sense that I do, like, I have ADD, so I've always been someone who just bounces from thing to thing to thing. And so I do find myself going through these like moments where I'm like, oh, I should like get a booth at this art stand and sell some of my paintings. Or the next week I'm like, oh, I should be doing this. Or the next week I'm making this like mirrors with random like customized borders and things like that. So I have a Depop like profile where I just kind of sell a bunch of my random creations. It's just a side thing. But I've kind of realized with Fawn, I just want to keep it aligned with my vision of supporting Vietnam and their economic development and also the ethical production and everything. And then I kind of have my own like kind of handmade crafty stuff on the side. So it's something that I think it's good to constantly be excited about new things and everything like that. But I definitely have to sometimes take a step back and realize I'm like, okay, like that's might be distracting from what I actually need to do right now. But I think that's the great thing about being in the position I'm in. Like when I was working for someone else, I was constantly having these ideas and things I was really excited to create, but then feeling really frustrated because I'm like, well, I have to go to sleep now because if I don't, then I'm going to be so tired tomorrow at work and everything. So, but I'd be laying in bed being like, oh, if only I could write this poem I have in my head or something like that. So I think it's just in general, being able to live a life where I am able to do more than just what my job is, like also have a bunch of things that I also enjoy. And it's just kind of knowing my personality of wanting to bounce around between different things. But then also trying to fight my procrastination and make sure that I get the important things for my business done in the right time. And I think knowing that my business affords me that freedom kind of pushes me to do it and procrastinate less than I would if I was in a different position.
Yeah, Wow. Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I'm a multi, well, we, Taylor Aller, who was on my podcast a couple of months ago, she coined this term to me called multi-potentialite. And she didn't create the term, but she uses it for herself because she's like, I have, you know, five businesses, but they're totally different from one another. And I just, as she said that, I was like, yes, like, I feel like a multi-potentialite because I love doing so many different things. And they all just, it just complements different parts of you. Right. And so what you're sharing is definitely part of that. And I'm really curious to see your mirrors with the custom borders. I think that's so cool. And it's actually, you're giving me some inspiration. I have a couple of days off this week, so you're giving me some inspiration to do something that I used to love. And actually when I was in university, and I would always look forward to like that 2 or 3 week break, you know, between semesters.
Yeah.
And I remember I would always look forward to it. And I would just dream about all these things that I would love to do. And I feel like, and I'm not as creative as you because you're so good. You're so artistic and you're so, the things that you create are so beautiful. But I feel like I do feel a little bit creative, or being drawn to the creative world. I mean, I'm not as, I call myself an abstract painter because I just keep going. I don't have like a plan, but
that's like what creation is. It's not necessarily like one thing. It's just like seeing something and being like, oh, I have my own way that I want that to be interpreted, or I just want to be able to make something or do something.
I appreciate that. And so what I would do in that semester break is I would just pick up one new hobby. Like I would go to Michael's, the craft store, and I'd be like, okay, what can I do here, you know? And I would do embroidery, or actually I just finished embroidery and I didn't realize how painful it is on your fingers. My husband's like, don't you need like one of those metal thumb things? I was like, no, it's no big deal, but it is painful pulling through the needle and pushing it through. But yeah, I would do like painting, I would do crafts, but I feel like I keep getting drawn to like clay molding. Like I see myself like in the garage with like one of the clay wheels and like just doing it. Mm. And I love when I see pieces that are handmade like that, because it's just, they're just so beautiful. But someday I will do that when I find some time.
Yeah, you should. I randomly did one of those like pottery classes and I was shocked by how hard it is doing the wheel. In my head, I was like, oh, you're just going to like flop it on. You get to do it. And I was just breaking every like, edge of the bowl and everything.
Isn't but once that interesting? You get
it, it's the most relaxing thing.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting because you think of clay, you're like, oh yeah, you just continue. And I did make like a mug or something, a little planter with my friends, and like the instructor kept saying like, don't play with it too much because the oils in your hands will break the clay. And I remember it was like my friends and I, we were saying it was a total test of patience but also letting go of your perfectionism, because one of my friends who was a perfectionist, she just kept playing with it and the whole thing just crumbled. And they were like, sorry, we can't even fire this for you because it's just crumbled. It won't, like, it'll just be like a slab of clay. And we had to just, you know, have that mindset of just letting go and just saying, okay, it's good enough. And I'm not going to keep playing with it because it will start to break apart. And I think that, I think that sometimes it's a lesson in itself. And so what's next for you, Marissa? What's on the trajectory in the next year for you now that we're in 2021?
Wow. I think this is something, I mean, I'm hoping by the fall we can do, hopefully by the summer we can start having some pop-up events, some outdoor sales, something like that, just to get kind of more directly in contact with our customers again. Hopefully in the fall we can do some sort of runway presentation. But it's something I was actually talking to my therapist about recently. It's just kind of like, I feel like I've just been working for like accomplishment to accomplishment, like, and kind of after I did Paris Fashion Week, I kind of felt like, okay, well, what am I going to do next? Like I can keep doing Paris Fashion Week, but kind of felt like this accomplishment this goal that I'd set for myself. And then kind of when I got there, I'm like, you know, I kind of felt like stuck after, like, oh, what do I want to keep doing? And I think my therapist, the really important thing she said to me was, okay, I think you need to step back again and stop focusing so much on what you're doing, kind of like what we were saying before, but like why you're doing it, and just focus on, you know, when you're 90 years old and you have your friends at your like birthday party and your family, it's like, what do you want them to say about you? You know, what do you want them to think about you? And I remember thinking, like, I want them to think that I'm very loving, that I'm, you know, still think about like how creative I was, and just still being really lively. And so it's kind of now realizing, I'm like, okay, it's, yes, like I have goals in my career and like milestones that I want to pass. But I think it's just in general now realizing, I'm like, okay, it's an overall picture of like how I can take care of myself and the people around me, and just generally trying to live a like happy life that's like focused on like, yeah, bringing joy to people around me and myself, rather than just like the actual like design itself or, you know, my actual business. But I think it'll all kind of feed into itself. So that's what I'm trying to focus on, is less like tangible milestones, but just general well-being and yeah, self-care.
Wow, that's amazing. And that's so inspirational, because it's true. It's just, you know, we can't just keep checking off these boxes and just kind of creating this goal and then making it a little bit bigger and bigger and bigger and just getting there and just realizing that, you know, what, you know, that you, like you said, you feel stuck. Okay, so what's next for me? But taking that time to do some of the introspection and just connecting with yourself. And yeah, like you said, really looking forward to your 90th birthday and saying like, what will people say about you? And I really appreciate that, because I started this business because I wanted, with the purpose of, time. I said that, you know, I just want more time in my life, more time to visit family, more time with my daughter, more time, you know, with, and I was feeling that whenever she would be sick and home, I felt frazzled, because I was like, well, I have obligations of my work. Now I have to take care of her. Like, I can't give her 100%. And I would prioritize my work over her. So when I started this business, I was like, I want to prioritize her over my business. And if it's my own business, I can do that. And I could switch the hours, and have an introspection. But like you said, like within on being an entrepreneur in business, you create all these goals for yourself. Right. And so that's what I did. I created these goals and kind of went that trajectory. And I got to a place where I was like, okay, so what's next? You know, like I've kind of got to these goals that I had set for myself. And then I went back and I realized, you know, when my daughter grows up, like, what do I want her to say? And my husband's really good at being present in the moment. Like, he's really good at it. And he, when he's with her, he's with her. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing else. Whereas when I'm with her, I'm like slow, a little bit on my phone, maybe doing a post, like maybe thinking about what's for dinner, or like maybe being like, hey, I gotta go upstairs quickly, do an email and I'll be back. And I realized actually that she started saying, you know, I want daddy, or saying something like, where's daddy? Like, and, you know, being more drawn towards him. And then to me, if I would walk up the stairs just to go upstairs just to grab something, she'd be like, okay, bye, mommy, you're going to work. And I was like, and then it just kind of broke my heart, because I was like, she knows I'm not present. Yeah. Like, she knows I'm not here. And that really, what you're saying about your 90th birthday, it makes me think about that too. Like, on my 90th birthday, I want her to know that I was fully present in her life, and not just, you know, focusing more on my business or my goals, and taking that time away from her. And
obviously you're doing your business because you want more time with her, but then you kind of get caught up in that idea of like, well, I have to do this to be able to have that time. So it's kind of, yeah, reconnecting to like, okay, the real reason why I'm doing this is this. And yeah, I think that's amazing, because I think it is really easy, because if you're, it's different because you're around all the time, whereas, so you're having to work and like be there. So it's realizing like, okay, I need to really tune in those moments. And it's kind of like the same with, yeah, connecting to like things I'm doing are fashion shows and creating like clothing collections. But the reason why I'm doing it is because I want to help people, and I want to have, yeah, and I want to be happy as a person so I can bring joy to people around me. So trying to remember that in my day to day, that like, that's the real reason why I'm doing this, not not the outcome of it.
Right. Yeah. And so I think that that's key. It's just keeping that real why at your forefront, and then revisiting it often just to make sure that that is that you're still staying aligned, I think is key. And yeah. And so, now I just chunk off, like when she's in school, she's in school. And when she's home, like that time is like in my calendar, it's blocked off. I don't do any work and I leave my phone upstairs now. Because it is so easy to just grab your phone when, especially with the online world and doing online marketing and digital marketing, you're kind of always on your phone. So it's nice to just kind of get a bit of a break and spend that dedicated time with her. And so, I really appreciate what you shared about, what's next for you is introspection and just taking care of yourself so that you can take care of people too.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so I really appreciate you sharing your story, sharing about yourself, your brand, and really giving some great tips and advice to people that might be in the same place as you about trying to sort out kind of what's next for them. If somebody was in your position when you were just coming out of university, starting your career in your financial services, and wanted to get into fashion design, for example, what would you say to that? What is the advice that you wish somebody said to you at that time?
I was really lucky and I had met someone who had finished the similar program that I had. And I think knowing that there was a shorter option to kind of get the experience I needed was a big relief, because in my head, I was like, I don't have any creative background. I don't want to have to do another 4-year program and, kind of start all over. So I think the fact that there is so many online resources now, and you pretty much can take like a full program online if you want to. So knowing that you can work and kind of have your passion that you're working to on the side, whether it's, so if it is fashion design, looking at the London College of Fashion and seeing if there's any online courses. I know they have a ton, or looking at other similar universities and kind of parceling together the skills that you want to gain and like learn yourself, and slowly doing that. And I guess the second thing is just never feeling like you're stuck. Like, I think when you're in a position that you don't want to be in, you truly do feel like you're stuck and that there's no other option and that there's no way out, but that's never really the case. Like, I think there's always, like, you can always switch it up, and that's not necessarily to say it's going to be easy, but and I'm sure if someone told me that at that time, I'd be like, well, I am stuck, I really can't. But I think it's just knowing that it does, it will get better and easier. I think most people at that age are struggling, and it's not until a couple of years later that you talk to your friends and realize like, oh, everyone else was also completely lost and didn't know what they're doing. Yeah. At the time you think you're like, oh, wow, everyone's doing all these amazing things. So kind of realizing it's like, just because someone looks like they're doing really well doesn't necessarily mean that's the case.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah, I love that. And so I really love that, because building that community, or just not having the fear to keep quiet or private, and just feeling like you can share your experience with people, you'll realize that there's actually a lot more people that are in a similar place as you. And that's why I narrowed down my focus for my coaching clients to those people that are just coming out of university and college, or just in the first 5 years of their career, because I feel like you're really told kind of like what to do for those years. You're given a syllabus, you're told when your assignments are, you're told when your readings are and your exams. And you basically, your whole life is planned for you for, those 4 years, and then you get out and there's nobody really there to support you, to guide you, to have you bounce ideas off of, to kind of tell you like, here's steps you need to take to get into a career of your choice, or really connect with yourself. And so, and that's why I think that the connecting piece, which you did coming out of your program, realizing that that's not what you wanted, and really knowing yourself and knowing where you wanted to go, That's really where I focus on, because we don't, when, like, you know, when was the last time somebody asked you if what you did is really what you want to do? And if you could do something that you absolutely love, what would it be? And how could you actually get there? Right. I think that those are real key things that you'll need to ask yourself as you're graduating and trying to sort out what's next for you. You know, and I remember in high school, one teacher said to me that on average, a person has 5 different careers in their lifetime. And that time I was 14 and I was like, what are you talking about? Like, you can't have 5 different degrees or 5 different careers because you have 1 degree and your degree dictates what you do as a career. But now that I'm older, I'm like, oh yeah, I totally get it. Like, I probably already have three careers under my belt, you know? Yeah. So, well, it's been really awesome getting to know you, and I will share your website and your social media handles on the show notes for everyone to connect with you. And yeah. And so if you want to connect with Marissa, you can connect with her on Instagram @FawnStudio, or on her website, fawnstudio.com. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you so much. It was really good connecting and hearing that we have very similar experiences with a lot of these things.
Thank you so much for listening to the end of that episode. I hope that you have learned something from that episode that can have you getting closer to a fulfilling life and career. There's so much out there in the world that you can learn, you can experience, and you can apply to your current life that will help you start making those little steps towards a career that you love and that you're inspired by. So I'm excited for you. I can't wait to hear what you're doing. I would love for you to share with me over on our social media, or you can send me an email and let me know. You can visit our website, howdidyoulearntodothat.com, for the show notes and for blog posts and to hear more about what we're up to. And of course, we would love if you could help us grow by reviewing us on Apple Podcasts as well as on YouTube and sharing with your family and your friends. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.